Okay, part number one, three-part series, Profiles in Persecution. Unfortunately, we have a long, long history. There's many people that would qualify for this series, so we picked three that at least came to mind for this one, one from the period of the Tanaim, one from the Middle Ages, and one from the much more modern period. So this goes back. It's I was looking around today a little bit. It gets into, especially with Rabbi Akiva's death and Rabbi Akiva's collection within the Ten Martyrs. We can give a whole shiur about that, about what the story is with the Asara Rugi Malchus. Of those people that are on the list, they live in vastly various periods. Not such vast. They're all killed by the Romans, but they some died during the time the Beis Hamikdash was standing, and some were Akiva was clearly way after the Beis Hamikdash had been destroyed. But they're put together, and they're put together in a package. There are midrashim that describe the ten equaling the ten brothers, and this is repayment. There's a lot to speak about with regards to the Asari Harugi Malchus as a whole, that would be maybe for another time. But with Rabbi Akiva himself, so the main sugya, ground zero for discussing Rabbi Akiva is the death of Rabbi Akiva. There's much to discuss about the life of Rabbi Akiva. Some might recall a couple of years ago, I think we gave a nine part series on the life of Rabbi Akiva between Mincha and Maariv. So there's much to discuss, but towards the end, so Rabbi Akiva is very prominent for his act of Mesiras Nefesh, for his act of dying Al Kiddush Hashem. And that ground zero for that discussion appears in Maseches Brachos. So Maseches Brachos, so I divided it up here, there's Hebrew and English, I divided it up really into five different aspects of this. I don't think we're going to be able to discuss each individually, but just to highlight that there's different parts to this story, all probably could give a shir on each one of them individually. So number one, V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, this is the idea that we say in Shema, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Inemar b'chol nafshecha, Lama nemar b'chol miyodecha, and it says with all of your nefesh, with all your soul, why does it say with all your might? Usually you say miyodecha is your money. Okay, V'inemar b'chol miyodecha, Lama nemar b'chol nafshecha, what's the difference between the two? If a person's body is more precious to him than his money, so therefore it says, and if his money is more important to him than his guf, so then we say, but either way, one must sanctify all of that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Monday night shiur covered this past Monday night. This is the basis for the pasuk of Kiddush Hashem, the basis of dying, that one has to give up their life rather than violate the three sins, and then under various circumstances, which we'll get to a little bit later, perhaps even more than the three sins, that if it's in public, or if it's during a time of Shas Hashma, during a time of general persecution, so then one would have to go beyond those three sins, and that is brought up by this pasuk. Fine. So comes the Gemara, continues on and says, we're not going to the Monday night shiur. We'll be posting it online. One for that discussion, you can listen to it there. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, b'chol nafshecha afilu notelas nafshecha. So Rabbi Akiva. I messed up the English. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Omer, this is the line right above. B'chol nafshecha afilu notelas nafshecha. Even if they take away your soul, even if it means dying. So Tanu Rabbanu, Pamachas Gazra Malchus Harshash Lo Yasku Yisrael B'Torah. That there was a gezerah of the kingdom, of the evil kingdom, that the Jews should not involve themselves with Torah. So what is this? What part of the history did this take part in? So the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Famously, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made several requests of the Roman government, of Vespasian. He was granted those three requests. Remember, Rabbi Akiva is the one who argues on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and says that if I were there, I would have asked that you save Yerushalayim. Right? It was Dafka Rabbi Akiva who said that, who was right in that machloka. So that's, you know, open question. But Rabbi Akiva says, I would have saved Yerushalayim. But meanwhile, what happened was Yavna was saved, Rabbi Gamliel and his family were saved, meaning the Nasius, the rulership lineage. Was it the Davidic line? Okay, so the Davidic line was preserved, and one of the Rav Tzaddik was healed. So Yavne was saved. That means that there are all these people going to Yavne, but meanwhile, more and more people go to Yavne. So the Roman government starts getting nervous about Yavne, and they kind of start disbanding even Yavne, and they send them to other places, etc. However, during that period also, there are those that appease the king. There are actually stories. There's a story of Rabbi Akiva himself going to Rome to negotiate better terms on behalf of the Jews. There's a Gemara that discusses that Rabbi Akiva was on a boat with a couple of other Tanayim, and they had one lulav, and it was Rosh Hashanah, and it was Sukkot, and how are they going to make sure they all fulfill the mitzvah? So what in the world is Rabbi Akiva doing on a boat in the middle of Sukkot? Right, so it's understood that that was his trip that he took to Rome and back. There's discussions that Rabbi Akiva has between himself and Turnus Rufus with the Roman king. There's Medrash that Rabbi Akiva even married a Gioris from Turnus Rufus's daughter, or one of the Roman emperor's daughters, or XY something. Rabbi Akiva married them. Rabbi Akiva was very involved with these types of things. There was even a promise of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. It was suggested they should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash during that period. There's a Medrash that describes that. And then that permission was taken away. When a promise is made and then the promise is taken away, that perhaps inflames passions even more. And that's what led to the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Rabbi Akiva was originally a fan of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, originally assuming that he was declaring that he would be Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva pulled away his support for from Bar Kokhba before the Bar Kokhba was destroyed. When Bar Kokhba was destroyed in Beitar, that was without the support. Rabbi Akiva had already taken away his support at that time. But the Romans came, and that's one of the things that we mourn for on Tishba, the destruction of Beitar and the hundreds of thousands of Jews that are described as being killed during that period. But the Romans were still not satisfied, and once again they realized that if we're going to really destroy the Jewish people, the only way this is going to work is if we ban Torah. So at that point they banned the Torah, and that's where this Gemara picks up. So Rabbi Akiva, Pamachas Gazu Malchus Hashem Shelo Yasu Yisrael v'Torah. The Malchus declared that the Jews shouldn't involve themselves with Torah. So Papas Ben Yehuda Umatul Rabbi Akiva Shaya Makil Hilas Rabban Vosim v'Torah. Right. And so comes this fellow Papas. Remember his name. I underlined it so that you remember it. So he comes and he finds Rabbi Akiva that he's leading this congregation learning Torah. So Amarle Akiva Yetamatir Misyare Mifnei Hamalchus. Aren't you afraid of the king? So I'm lo emshal l'chamashal. Let me give you a mashal. L'mad davar doma. What does this compare to? L'shol shahay mahali chalgab hanar. You got a fox that's walking along the river. V'radagim shahay miskapsim b'makom l'makom. And you got fish that are running from one place to another. Why are they running away? Because they're being chased. So I'm lohem. The fox says, "Why are you running away?" So I'm lohem. They rish rashtus shemavim aleinu b'nei adam. So why are you running away? He says, "Well, because of the nets that are being cast by men. So therefore, we got to keep swimming." So Amar Lahem, Ritzon Chem Shetal Liyavasha. So the fact says, why don't you come onto land? There's no fishing nets on land, right? If you come onto land, everything will be okay, right? But Nadar Anivatem, Kashem Shedaravu Saim Avoseichem, right? You'll live with me just like my forefathers lived with your forefathers. So Amar Lo, so the fish respond to him, Ata Hu Sheomer Malecha Pikeach Shebechayus, right? Aren't you the one who they call the smart of the animals? Meaning you're a fox, right? Aren't you supposed to be sly? So lo pikeachata elatipeshata, right? You're not smart, you're really stupid, right? Well, obviously, we're not going to, ma'bakum chiyusan anu misyarin, that in a place where we are alive, where we can live, we're afraid. Makum misaseinu alachas kam v'kama. But in a place where we're certainly going to die, how much more so we should be afraid? Fine. So that's what the fish say to the fox. So comes Rabbi Akiva and says, "Afanachnu." So to us, "Achshav shanu yosh moskim b'Torah." Shekasuba dechi hu chayecha. Chasiva d'dal. It's not supposed to be there. Ki hu chayecha biyarachem echa. Meaning we're learning Torah, which is our what preserves our life. Kachim anu holchim mivatel mimena alachas kam v'kam. So if they come and try, if we just are mivatel Torah, we say, "Fine, we're going to give up on Torah." So certainly we're going to die. Right? That's the expression. Right? Like a fish out of water. Right, that's his mashal here. Right, we would then be like a fish out of water. Certainly, we would die if we don't learn Torah. Might as well learn Torah with the risk of death if we're going to die anyways when we're not if we're not learning Torah. Okay, so that's the mashal. So skip to the next part. Is Amru, they said, Lo hayu yamecha muatim, asher tafsu l'Rabbi Akiva v'chashu b'veis Yisrim. So it didn't take very long, especially because he was publishing all of his shirim on Y.U. Torah, and all those posters were going up all over the place in all the supermarkets advertising Rabbi Akiva's shirim. So it wasn't so difficult for the Romans to find Rabbi Akiva was learning. V'tafsu, so they put him in jail. V'tafsu l'papas ben Yehuda v'chashu etzlo. And they also captured Papas ben Yehuda, and they put him in jail with Rabbi Akiva as well. So that's the same fellow as before that criticized Rabbi Akiva for teaching Torah. I never noticed this before. It's the same guy, right? So Amr Lo, he says, Papas, right? Mi avicha lakan, Rabbi Akiva says, who brought you here? So Amr Lo, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva shenisfasta al divrei Torah. How fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, that you were captured al divrei Torah? Ay lo lepapas shenitfasu al dvarim betalim. Lo and two papas that I got captured for dvarim betalim. So the truth is, you just read, I looked a little bit who this papas fellow is. If you just look at this Gemara, it sounds like Pappas is almost punished for being the one who criticized Rabbi Akiva, right? That's the impression that one gets here. So Pappas ben Yehuda, it is suggested that the Pappas ben Yehuda shows up in elsewhere in the Gemara. It shows up in the Gemara in Tainus, that there's a story of one of the Roman governors or something. So they found there was a girl who was killed. They accused the Jews of it, and they said, if nobody admits who murdered this person, so we're going to go and we're going to kill the whole city. So Pappas and his friend
Louianus.
Oh, very good. Pappas and who?
Louianus.
Okay, they present themselves as the murderers in order to save the entire Jewish people. So Pappas was not a bad guy; he was a good guy. And the fact that he said Akiva without calling Rabbi Akiva, rather than indicating that he's treating Rabbi Akiva with disrespect, maybe means that he's treating him as a friend, meaning he's actually a chav, he's actually a pretty chashuv person. So that whole issue, I mean, what are they doing? Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to give one's life up in order to save the rest of the city? So that's another whole shir that one can give on that topic. Fine. So far, we'll get to the Kriya Shema thing a little bit later. But so far, what do we have here? We have Rabbi Akiva. There is a gezeira. The Roman government says you're not allowed to teach Torah. And Rabbi Akiva goes and risks his life in order to teach Torah. Right? And is that allowed? Right? What gives him the right to do that? Is one right? And so that is the question. There is another Gemara about Rabbi Akiva as well, probably during the same era, and that's source number two. Tana Rabbanan Maaseh Rabbi Akiva Shayachavish Reveis Haisurim. So it happened with Rabbi Akiva that he was captured. He was in jail. V'hai Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi Misharso. Rabbi Yeshua Garsi was taking care of him. So b'chol yom v'yom hayu machnisim lo mayim v'mida. So every day he would bring him a measure of water. So yom echon matzu shomer beis ha'isurim. Amar lo hayomim chamaruvim. So the guard, one day he's coming in, the guard says to him, wow, you have a lot of water today. So shema lachtor beis ha'isurim atatzarech. Perhaps you're coming to dig yourself out of the prison. I mean, who says the Rabbi Akiva is doing this? Maybe he's, you know, taking his little chisel and hiding it behind the poster in the wall. And he is busy digging. No, nobody got that reference. Okay, somebody. Shawshank Redemption. Okay, yes. Right. And maybe Rabbi Akiva is busy digging his way out. So shafech chetzion benasun lo chetzion. So he spilled out half of it, and he gave him half of it. So kishaba itzur Rabbi Akiva amar lo Yeshua inatay Yudei she zakin ani v'chayi tulin b'chayacha. So Rabbi Akiva says, don't you know I'm an old man, right? And my life relies on your life, meaning I'm relying on what you bring me every day. By the way, how old is Rabbi Akiva?
120 when he died.
Right, so there is a medrash that says that lists Rabbi Akiva as being 120. There are several people that this medrash lists as being 120, meaning Moshe is listed as 120. I believe Hillel Hazaken is known as being 120. Rabbi Akiva is known as living to 120. So there are those suggest that 120 doesn't necessarily mean 120. It means, you know, lived a full life. Right. So, anyways, but he was not no spring chicken. So, Sachlo Kol Oso Hamoro Amar. He told him the whole story. And he says, "Tainli Mayim Shetul Yadis." He says, "Fine. So, give me the water so that I can wash my hands." So Amar lo, lishton ein megin lifle yadecha megin. He says, wait a second, you're not going to drink, you're going to only use it to wash your hands? So he says, Amar lo, ma'esa shechaibim aleha misa. He says, what can I do? I'm chayiv misa if I don't. Mutav emus, and same argument, mutav emus misa sa'atzvi velo evor al das chaverai. Better that I die myself rather than violate the terms of my friends. So what's he talking about here? So the context of this Gemara is the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin in general, is almost entirely Dinei Derabanan. So in that Gemara, it actually has the line that anybody who violates Divrei Sofrim, anybody who violates a Din Derabanan, is Chayiv Misa. So that's why this Gemara shows up, to prove that point, that Rabbi Akiva was willing to risk his life for a Din Derabanan, a rabbinic law, of washing one's hands before bread. Okay. So Amru lo tam klum achahavi lo mayim benatal yadav. He didn't eat anything until he gave him the water and he washed his hands. Kedeshemu chachamim bedaver. When the chacham heard about this, Amru ma beziknuso kach biyaduso achas kama bekama. If he's like this when he was older, imagine what he was like when he was younger. Ma beveis haisurim kach. And this is how he is in prison. Right? Shelo beveis haisurim achas kama bekama. How much greater would Rabbi Akiva be if he was outside of prison? So. Tosfos raises the comment on that Gemara. He says, wait a second. Afal Gav, the Parakama, he says, where Mikiva's doing this, of taking the water, pouring it instead of pouring it on his hands instead of drinking it, even though we'd said four dafim earlier, four pages earlier in the Gemara, arba dvar peturim b'machane, that there are four things that one is exempt from in an army camp, one of them being rechitzas yadayim, one of them being hand washing. So why is Rabbi Akiva literally killing himself over washing your hands? Isn't there a dispensation to permit him to avoid washing one's hands? In fact, the Ar Rishonim, the Or Zeruah, I saw, quotes this Gemara as saying that that the idea that there's the way we paskin is that if it's impossible for a person to wash their hands, totally impossible, there's no water around, so you could take a glove or something, take a covering and not touch the bread directly. So there's a rule, learns from this Gemara, he says, no, that's not true. He says, you see from this Gemara, you can't do that. Otherwise, Rabbi Akiva would have done that. Right? So that is one way of reading this Gemara. So what is the Gemara? What is Tosfos answer though? Right, certainly if it was dangerous, he should have been able to. But Rabbi Akiva was machmer on himself. So now the Monday night crew will forgive me for going and reviewing some of the things that we learned this past Monday night. Right? And what does it mean that Rabbi Akiva is permitted to be machmer on oneself? Right? We're generally taught that life is pretty precious. How could one possibly go ahead and do that? So the way it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, is, and that's in source number 4, it says, Kol ha'averos shebetorah chutz me'avodos kochavim v'gila rayas v'shichas damim, right, any of the averos in the Torah except for the big three, right, avodah zara, immoral activity, and killing, im olam lo l'adam sheyavar aleim o yarag, if a person says, either violate them or I will kill you, im hu betzina yavar val yaharag, if you're in private, you can violate it and don't be killed, meaning you would violate any of the other mitzvos. You could violate Shabbos, right? V'im yirtze l'hachmer al atzmo v'lihareg rishai. But if he wants to be machmer on himself and be killed, he is permitted to do so. If the whole purpose that the non-Jew had in mind was to get him to violate the Torah. If the non-Jew had a practical purpose to it, the non-Jew said he puts a gun to your head and tells you to go and drive your car and pick up something, right? Go to Giant and buy me something from the store. So he just wants that thing from the store. But if it's something else, if he specifically is trying to get him to violate the Torah, so then he's trying to get him to violate the Torah. Fine. So then one would be permitted to do that. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So wait a second. Says the Beis Yosef and the Rishonim say, wait a second. Who said that? Where did that come from? So we learned the sugya the other night that the only thing the Gemara really talks about is violating these three halachos or violating other halachos in particular. Sorry, violating these three halachos, dying in order not to violate these three halachos, or dying in order not to violate halachos if it's a time of persecution or it's in front of 10 people. Right? Where does it say that? Oh, even if it's in private, it would still apply to this case. Where does it say that? That's what the Beis Yosef brings up. So the Beis Yosef points out, what we're dealing with here. So the Beis Yosef quotes, you can see in there, maybe we won't go through it inside, he quotes from the Rambam and the Ramban that disagreed. The Rambam famously says that if one is not permitted to give up your life, and the halacha is you should violate this rather than give up your life, and one elects to give up their life rather than violate the din, says the Rambam, Hareza Mischayev Benafsha. You are chayiv for your nefesh, meaning you murdered yourself, so to speak. You have violated your own self. That's the Rambam's position. However, the position of many of the Ran and who else is quoted, the Rush, the Smag, and then the Nemukei Yosef. Well, Nemukei Yosef will read inside. They say that no. That's the din, and they bring a couple of proofs. One of them I recalled when we learned it Monday night was this Gemara from Rabbi Akiva. Right? You see from Rabbi Akiva that you're allowed to do that. I couldn't find it though when I was looking over it today. I remember even mentioning Rabbi Akiva during the shir. I just couldn't find that proof. The main proof that they talk about is this fellow Elisha ben Kenafayim who put on tefillin even though it was a difficult period, and even though he would give up his life, and then he hid them, and then etc. So that's the proof that they go, how could he have done that? You see that you're allowed to do it. And then comes the Nemukei Yosef. You see three lines from the bottom there. Besof Perek Betzora Mora Kasav B'Divrei Rambam Zal Umikol Makom. Two lines from the bottom. Kasav Shimu Adam Gadol Chasid V'Yirei Shemayim. That if you are a great person, V'Roa Shador Paritz Bekach, and you see that the generation is going to be destroyed by this rishai, then it's permitted. L'kayishes Hashem v'limsor atzma afilu mitzvah kala. Then you're permitted to do it. It's a specific dispensation for you, so that the people will see and they'll be inspired and they'll be able to come back. So that, where does that idea come from? That's what Rabbi Akiva is doing. Meaning, it sounds like, well, why is Rabbi Akiva allowed to give up his life for the sake of washing his hands? And one could even go further and ask, why is Rabbi Akiva allowed to give up his life for the purpose of Talmud Torah? Right? Why are you allowed to do that? Right? It's not one of the big three. Certainly, according to the Rambam, why are you allowed to do that? So one.
It's b'shas hashma.
Right. So first of all, it's b'shmat. So you say it's b'shas hashma, but do you remember we learned from that story of Elisha ben Kenafayim that's only for mitzvos los ases, not for mitzvos ases. Right. So he's doing positive mitzvos. Now, the truth is, you can make a case by netilas yadayim that's also a negative. Meaning, is that a positive? Is it by eating bread without washing? So is that a violation of a positive mitzvah, or is that a violation of a negative mitzvah? Right? It's you got to figure that out. It plays a role, by the way, in Hilchos Aninus, when a person is not permitted to do mitzvahs while in between the death of a relative and the burial. So does one, right? We don't make brachos. Does one wash their hands? Right? So you usually wash your hands without a bracha. That's the way we pass, at least Ashkenazim, that's the way we pass it. So, plus it's considered somewhat to be a lotase as well, right? That's how that's working. Okay, so anyway, so that's how one understands the Rabbi Akiva idea of being Moser Nefesh. So either you could say, well, you have the choice to do so. Second of all, he is the Adam Gadol, he is the Chassid, the Yuri Shemaim. He certainly fits that point. Then he's allowed to do it.
These are really bad times.
And these are and the Shasta Shemat, yeah. Okay, fine. So that's issue number one. So issue number two is now the actual Shas HaMisa, when he actually is taken out. So if you go back to the front page, so we say the second to last section in those Gemaras, B'shashi Yotzias Rabbi Akiva La'arigos Man Kriyas Shemahi. So when they took Rabbi Akiva out to be killed, so it was a time of Kriyas Shema. V'hayu sorkin es besaro b'masrikus shel barzel, and they were scraping his basar with combs, with iron combs. So v'hayu mekabel alav olmachu shemayim, he was accepting upon himself literally the yoke of heaven. Okay, so Amru lo tamidav Rabbeinu Adkan. So his tamidim, his student, said to him, "Your Rebbe, up to this point." Amr lahem kol yamai hayisi mitzdar al pasuk zeh b'chol nafshecha afilu notas nishmasecha. I'd always wondered or took pain over this pasuk of what does it mean b'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul, with your life, even if they're taking away your life. So Amarti, Matai Yavu Lidei Vakayemenu. At what point will I be able to go ahead and fulfill this? V'achter Shabo Liyadi Lo Akayemenu. And now that it has reached my hands, I'm not going to go ahead and fulfill it. So Hayamarich Be'echad. He lengthened the word Echad. Actually, Yatz the Nishmasa Be'echad until his neshama left at once. So Yatz the Baskel of Amra. Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. She Yatz the Nishmasa Be'achas. And the Baskel came out. A heavenly voice came out and says, "How fortunate is it for Rabbi Akiva that his neshama left Be'achas?" So Be'echad. Sorry, his neshama left with the word Echad. Right. So there's a lot going on over here, besides obviously the emotional impact of what's going on here, of the scene. But there's a lot to unpack in terms of these lines in the Gemara. So he was coming out and he was saying, Omach l'shamayim. So the Talmidim said, Ad Kan. So what do they mean by Ad Kan? And then furthermore, with Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva's response is, well, I never thought I'd be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Now that I'm able to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, I'm not going to go ahead and fulfill it. So what exactly is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? So Dr. Chaim Salvation has an article. It's in Collected Essays, Volume 1. He has about 3 pages on this topic, where he points out that the issue of people dying during the, or he really talks about suicide during the Crusades. So that is, those people die al Kiddush Hashem, if you either killed yourself rather than converted, or killed yourself rather than face the prospect of conversion. That's really what it's rather than. Right? So he points out that, yes, it's true that we have an assumption that they died al Kiddush Hashem, they were Kedoshim, but it doesn't find its basis in halacha very well. It's hard to really figure out how that works out pi halacha. And he says rather that Bali Tosfos, the later authorities who assumed that they were all Kedoshim, says they were working kind of as, how could they not be Kedoshim? And then they went back into the Gemara and found sources to justify that type of behavior and even glamorize is the right word, but to demonstrate the greatness of that type of behavior. Apparently he got a lot of, raised a big controversy, because in Volume 2 he talks about how these are all essays that were printed decades ago. But in Volume 2 he says, I printed that essay and apparently everybody picked up on those 3 pages and everybody yelled at me. How could I say that the Bali Tosfos aren't working in a strict halachic framework? So now I'll write a 50-page essay about to prove to you that I'm right. So over the course of that essay he talks about this story, and he points out that Rabbi Akiva, that he says, now that it's reached my possibility to do it, I'm not going to go ahead and fulfill it. Meaning, it's as if Rabbi Akiva had a choice at this point about whether to do it or not. And Dr. Salvation points out, I said, what choice did Rabbi Akiva have? Rabbi Akiva was being killed, and there's no point in the Gemara where it says that they asked Rabbi Akiva, are you sure? And he's right, there's no point there. Rabbi Akiva is being killed. He doesn't have a choice in the matter. So is he actually dying al Kiddush Hashem? So in the, so I read this.
So
I
was, if he had a, I don't know, I'm trying to sort of.
I mean, he's saying,
choice.
Right, the strict halacha, if you know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right, is, right, they put a gun to your head and say, either do this or we will kill you. And I say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do a avodah zarah. Then they kill you. Right? That's the strict Kiddush Hashem.
Oh,
so that doesn't exactly parallel Rabbi Akiva's story.
But he was in prison because he was wearing Torah.
Right, so that's why I was scratching my head and saying, wait a second. The Kiddush Hashem wasn't necessarily at that moment. The Kiddush Hashem was that he died for teaching Torah whenever it was beforehand. So I just didn't understand it. And I just kind of flipped through to see if there are other references to Rabbi Akiva, and at the end there's a postscript where he takes that back. he says, someone pointed out to me, right, he knew the story, but I didn't read it that way, but now I read it that way. I was convinced that, no, Rabbi Akiva does fit into the Kiddush Hashem framework due to the fact that he was in that situation in the first place,
right,
because of that activity. Fine. But beyond that, so what is the story with saying Shema? So this is in lore, right, that a person's going to die al-Kiddush Hashem, right? So the scene that we have in our mind is someone saying Shema Yisrael, right? That's kind of, that's based on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who did that. So where does it come from? What is the story of saying Rabbi Akiva, of saying Shema during such points? So there is a a reference, we can have a Monday Night Shear reference, we can have a First Seder reference, that we learned a couple of weeks ago. Yosef met up with his father, and the Pasuk says in source number 6, Vayasur Yosef Markavto, Vayal Likras Yisrael, Aviv Goshna, Vayar Elav, Vayipol Tzavaro, Vayif Kal Tzavarav Od. So what does that Pasuk mean? That they greeted each other. And they greeted each other, and he fell on his shoulder, on his neck, right? And he cried on his neck. So why only he? Why is it only singular? Right? There are two people involved. There's Yaakov and Yosef. So who's the he? Why is it only one of them and not the other one? So Rashi famously points out, right, that part of it is in Lashon Rabim, and then it turns into Lashon Yachid. So why does he say that? So he was crying very much, but at the very end of Rashi says, "Aval Yaakov lo nafal al tzavrei Yosef lo nashko." Yaakov didn't fall on the neck of Yosef; he didn't kiss him. Why? V'amar Rabu seinu shayakori Shema. Why? Because he was saying Shema. So what's going on there? So if we look at the source underneath, that comes from the Gur Aryeh Chumash, which is from the Maharal. So you have a question. So A, where did Yaakov get the idea of saying Shema? And if it's so obvious that you should be saying Shema at that point, well, why isn't Yosef saying Shema? If the din is the din, so what? Yosef should have known it. So why didn't Yosef do it? So v'hikshu lama Yosef lo kara kriya Shema, kivin sh'asa kriya Shema haya. Right? Kivin sh'as kriya Shema haya. Why is Yosef not saying Shema? It was the time of Shema. Shadochik lomar shehiktim osha achar bo zrizim. Onam yesh l'dat. It's hard to say that one was doing it earlier and one wasn't. Onam yesh l'das in kriya Shema shehaya kori uvezei yutur etz mashalo haya kori Yosef kriya Shema. That the basis is the idea of kriya Shema. That why was he saying it at that point? Not necessarily because it was the Zman of Kriya Shema, but rather when Yaakov came and he saw Yosef, and Yosef was the king, and I'll paraphrase the rest, he realized, wow, that's an amazing how the Midos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu work, and he felt such a closeness with Hashem that he had to say Shema. So why didn't Yosef do it? Why didn't Yosef say Shema? So Judas the Maharal didn't answer it, but this is taken from the fancy schmancy Maharal edition on Chumash, and there's a footnote. And the footnote, he points out, because the love of a father for a son isn't the same as the love for a son for a father. So Yaakov was able to reach that point of tremendous love for his son, which he was then able to really, you know, kind of connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment and be able to experience this oneness where you yell out Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Yosef didn't exactly reach that point. So then
it wasn't like a time of the day when he should have been saying.
So that's
we dispense with it.
Yeah. Well, so the time of day issue we'll get to a little bit shortly. But right. So it seems like that's the Maharal saying it didn't have to do with the time of day. Rather, it was a reaction. So we would say the same thing at this point. I mean, even though it's in a way the opposite, right? The Rabbi Akiva is being killed at this point, Rabbi Akiva is also experiencing such a dveikus at that moment. That's the impression that one gets from this Gemara. Saying, Adkai says, yeah! He says, I'm going to be able to do this. And there's Mitzvah Meliyahu talks about how every time Rabbi Akiva said Shema, he was preparing for this very moment. So, I'm ready! And he was able to finally experience it and be able to say Shema with his full his full efforts, and that's the idea of also concluding with the word Echad. I was able to conclude my life being in total oneness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I see we're running out of time, so I'll skip 10:11, then go back. 10:11 is the idea of Rabbi Akiva being the eternal optimist. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, always say, "Hey, Adam Ragilomer called Avid Rachman al Tavavid." Right? Every person should always say, "This is for the best." And Rabbi Akiva actually believed it. I mean, there's another Gemara that talks about that when something good happens, you say Atova Mitiv, and something not so good happens, you say Dayan Emes. Right? You, from our perspective, we have the right to say, but Rabbi Akiva is the one who everything is for the best. So even though from our perspective Rabbi Akiva is being killed, from Rabbi Akiva's perspective, and this is my point of oneness of together with Hashem, so how can I not say Shema? One more point. There is this book, Faith After Ha. I don't know very much about him. Rabbi Elazar Berkowitz. He was a teacher in Skokie Yeshiva, a philosophy teacher. He wrote a book, Faith After the Holocaust, which is available in the Lower Merion Public Library.
He's a student of Yeshiva.
Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. Okay. So he, in this book, points out two things having to do with this story. The first, that he says, the first paragraph, the top left paragraph, is the idea of saying Echad, an idea of saying Shema, at that very last moment, is ultimately at the last moment you're really by yourself. I mean, there's nobody else around at the very last moment. Until that point, Rabbi Akiva has his students, Rabbi Akiva is being encouraged, and Rabbi Akiva has his cellmates. He has other people around, but at the very last moment, he's one. He's only him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the idea of saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I'm one with Hashem. But I found the second point also very, a very important idea. That if you look carefully, and this is what I mean by the time had come, that Gemara in Brachos that we quoted from, that Gemara in Brachos starts with, at the time they took Rabbi Akiva out, Zman Kriyas Shema Haya. It was the time of Shema.
Okay, so.
Right? So the time they took, it was the time of Shema. So the. Let's see where we should read from. So the idea of doing it at that point, six lines from the bottom. This is how Jewish martyrs on the left. This is how Jewish martyrs through the ages gave their lives and breathed their last with the words of a Shema on their lips. It was an affirmation on the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven brought about by the extraordinary nature of the challenge, specific acceptance meeting of specific hours. Not so, however, in the case of Rabbi Akiva. With Rabbi Akiva, it was the hour of the daily recitation of the Shema. Accepting the yoke of heaven, Rabbi Akiva was doing what he had done every day of his life. It was, one might say, routine. The extraordinary situation vested the routine with extraordinary meaning and dignity. But Rabbi Akiva was not responding to a situation. He ignored it. The Roman soldiers came to fetch him. They abused his body. It happened to be the time of day when a Jew recites the Shema. Let the Romans do to him whatever they please. Rabbi Akiva could not be concerned with it. He had more important things to turn, which to turn his attention. It was for him the saying of Shema. What did it matter what the Romans did to him? He went about his business of living the daily life of a Jew, continuing with the routine of the Jewish existence and ignoring the word that is bent on crushing the Jew and the marks of Kiddush Hashem. I mean, what is the point of this B'shas Kriya Shema Haisa? So that's also an aspect of Kiddush Hashem. I mean, a Jew has to do what a Jew has to do. And if somebody else is going to try to get in our way, so somebody else tries to get in our way. But we continue on and doing exactly what we're supposed to do.
So perhaps that's the message. That time of day doesn't take away the Kiddush Hashem.
No, that's the very point of the Kiddush Hashem. That is the Kiddush Hashem. That they're going to do whatever they're going to do. Where Rabbi Akiva says, listen, that's your problem. My issue is I have Shema to say, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. And so too with all the rest of the mitzvahs. So it's the lesson of Rabbi Akiva that even though he died over the course of mitzvahs and Yerushalayim, we should have the opportunity to live with fervor, living a life of mitzvahs in the pattern of Rabbi Akiva.